I'd like you to turn your Bibles today to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. We're starting a new series today. I'm calling it Everyday Miracles. Everyday Miracles. You know, when we think about miracles, I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I think about the biggies. I think about when God parted the Red Sea. Or I think about when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. But I believe that there are miracles that God does every day around us. And the reason I believe that is because God cares about us. He is active in His world. He hasn't created this world and just left it to its own design and to its own discourse. God loves the world. And God is involved whether you know it or not, whether you're aware and discerning or not. He is working miracles every day all around us. And here's the cool thing. What I hope to bring out in this series is that you and I can be a part of it. In fact, that's what my message is today. You can be part. How you can be part of a miracle. In saying that, let me just say right off the bat that I think the greatest miracle of all, and we'd often stop to think about this as a miracle, but it is when God forgives someone of their sins and when someone is adopted into the family of God and they become a son or a daughter of God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, that's a miracle. That is a miracle of God, and it happens all the time. I wish it happened more, but it happens all the time. And here's the thing. We get to be a part of it. The church gets to be a part of this miracle. You and I get to go out. We get to tell others about Jesus. We got to start out with Can We Talk, a new semester yesterday. We had some great visits. No one came into the kingdom yet, but I guarantee you we planted some seeds. And so it is our privilege and our joy to be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ and to share the hope that you can have in Jesus. And some of you here today, you may need Jesus, and you can have Him today. You can have the greatest miracle of all. Jesus can come into your heart. Just like Keith just said, it's Jesus, only Jesus. It's not Jesus plus anything, just Jesus. He'll save you. He'll do the greatest miracle of all. And you know what's interesting about that? Of course, we know that part of that, it determines our destiny eternally. We spend eternity in heaven because of Jesus, because of His shed blood, His sacrifice on the cross. But here's the thing. We're talking about everyday miracles. That miracle of salvation changes everything here in the everyday, in the here and now. You know, when someone gets saved and radically changed, and they have a life-changing experience, life changes here. When a man gets saved gloriously for the kingdom and through the power of Jesus, he becomes a better husband and a better father and a better worker and a more productive member of society. And when a woman gets saved, she becomes a better wife and a better mother, and life changes in her household. You've heard the old saying, ain't nobody happy unless mom's happy, right? So, man, things change when a woman has a life-changing experience. When kids get saved, the direction of their lives change, and they are not as vulnerable to fall into all of the many pits and traps that Satan has for our children today. It's a rough world out there. And so it's a glorious thing when the miracle of salvation occurs. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to look at an everyday miracle. An everyday miracle. It's in 2 Kings chapter 4, as I said. And I don't know what you're facing today, but I guarantee you this is going to hit you in some area. And if nothing else, I hope to challenge you to be involved in someone else's miracle. You can be a part of the solution God has for a problem that is right here in your path. We're going through experiencing God right now. I'll give a little plug for it now in case I forget later. It's not too late to join. And a lot of what experiencing God is talking about is hearing from God through His Word and getting involved and getting in on the activity of God. And I heard they had a great time out there in the Life Center last Sunday night. It's happening again tonight. You'll want to get there at 5:30 to see the video, but the small group starts their discussion at 6 o'clock. And really, it's not much of a small group, is it? I think you guys had in the mid-30s last week. So, man, we praise God for that. But we're going to look at this passage today. This is a story you'll probably be familiar with. It comes from the time of Elisha. Elisha was the prophet that followed on the heels of Elijah. And this is an everyday miracle that occurred during the ministry and time of Elisha. Verse 1 of chapter 4 says, "One of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband, has died. You know that your servant feared the Lord, And now the creditor is coming to take my two children as his slaves. Elisha asked her, "What can I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" She said, "Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Just a little bit of oil. Then he said this. This was his advice to the woman. "Go and borrow empty containers from everyone, from all your neighbors. Do not get just a few. Then go in and shut the door behind you and your sons and pour oil into all of these containers. Set the full ones to one side." So she left. And after she had shut the door behind her and her sons, they kept bringing her containers, and she kept pouring. And when they were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another container." But he replied, "There aren't any more." And then the oil stopped. So she went and told Elisha, the man of God. And he said, "Go and sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons can live on the rest." Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are indeed at work in our lives, in the lives of people around us. You care about our world. You care about us. You care about our great mission. And I'm thankful that you'll use us. Sometimes we feel common and ordinary. Sometimes, like the woman in this story, we feel overwhelmed. God, I pray that if someone feels like that today, that you would bless them, that you would speak to them through this message. And I pray that you would use me as your vessel and help us all to be willing to be used however you see fit. God, we want to see more everyday miracles. We know they occur around us. We just sometimes don't discern it, and we refuse or choose not to be a part of it. But God, we want to be a part of your activity and your work. We want our church to be a church that is filled with your activity. So just speak to us today through your word. Help me to be your spokesman. I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak through me. It wouldn't be my words, but you speaking to these dear people here today. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me just ask you right off the bat. You don't have to raise your hands, just in your mind. How many of you feel overwhelmed today? You don't even have to nod your heads. I know that there's probably many. I know there's times I feel overwhelmed. You feel like there's just too much going on in your life. Maybe you have too many bills to pay. Or maybe you've got problems at work or problems in your home. Maybe you're just overcommitted and you don't know how to stop this vicious cycle. Some of you here today, you may be a little low on faith. And you're low on faith because you're overwhelmed by what's going on in your life. Maybe you're a single parent here today, and you think, "Man, nobody understands. I am stretched so thin, it's not even funny." All of us know what it's like to be overwhelmed. All of us have had that experience. Maybe you're a kid here today, and your parents aren't getting along, and it's just about to tear your heart out, and you feel overwhelmed. Or speaking of hearts, maybe you've had this tightness in your chest lately, and you've not told anybody about it. Or you found a lump and you're afraid that it might be cancer. And your overwhelming stress today is a physical stress. And you're worried about what the doctor's going to say. Or maybe it just has to do with something financial. You have financial debt and it's about to eat you alive and you have no freedom. You're enslaved. You're in chains because of the debt that you have in your home. Well, listen to me. If your stress tank is full today and you're feeling overwhelmed and your faith tank is empty, you need to listen to this story, and you need to listen as we have some practical applications from this Bible story that really we don't know a whole lot about the characters. I mean, we don't know this woman's name. Her name isn't even given. But we do know this. She's like a lot of us. She's overwhelmed. I mean, she's just lost her husband. Some of you know what that's like, and that's a traumatic and difficult experience to go through. But imagine going through it in her day. In the culture in which she lived. I mean, there's no chance to get any support. There is no welfare or social security. She's a woman. She can't go out and get a job. Not only that, but if you remember the story that I read to you, she has some sons at home. And apparently this was what they did in that day. If she couldn't pay her debts or her bills, the creditors could come and take her sons and use them as slaves. So here's this poor woman. She's just lost her husband. She's destitute. She has no recourse. And she's about to lose her sons. She's overwhelmed. She's in a bad way. a very bad spot. Now, let me just mention something right quick before we move on into the story. This is a good checkup for us, kind of a reality check, okay? Sometimes I need a reality check. Sometimes I can make mountains out of molehills. Sometimes I can be thinking that I'm overwhelmed by things that really shouldn't be that overwhelming to me. I mean, we all do that. I get worked up about the silliest of things. For instance, sometimes our phone won't work right. You know, my cell phone won't work right. And really, that's a blessing. God's trying to give me a sabbatical. And I get all worked up about it. And I want it to work right. I want my phone to work right. Or maybe we go to a restaurant sometime. And lately this has happened to me several times. And I'm not calling anybody out, but just they get the order wrong. Not the whole thing, just a little bit. Maybe they don't get the salad dressing right or something like that. And you're all upset about that. And sometimes we get upset over little things. I know people, I remember my brother-in-law lives up in Kansas City, and he used to tell me how, man, people would after the Chiefs lost, people would not come into work the next day, or they'd be worthless at work. And I mean, I'm kind of like that. When my team loses, I get all upset. And I shouldn't do that. That's where we're borrowing trouble. But you know what? Some people here today, you really do have serious problems. I mean, you have things that really are legitimately overwhelming. Maybe your marriage is hanging on literally by a thread. I know that sometimes that happens. Or maybe someone you loved has betrayed you, and it hurts like crazy. Or maybe you have a child that's wayward, maybe a grown child, and you know that child is headed the wrong direction. You know they're about ready to make some stupid mistakes. They're going to cost them, and they're going to pay for it the rest of their lives. And you feel helpless and overwhelmed. Or maybe you've heard a doctor's report. And maybe it's not you. Maybe it's a loved one. And the doctor says unless a miracle happens, there's no chance. Some of you have some really serious and critical issues. And if that's you, I want you to listen to some things that I found in this story studying this week. Some things we can learn from this chapter in the life of Elisha. And it'll help us to understand what to do when we're overwhelmed. But it also is going to help us to know how we can be part of a miracle. Because guys, miracles happen around us every day. So let's get into this story now if you're ready. If you're ready, say amen. Amen. All right, good. I'm glad you're awake. Let's go to point number one out of this story. The first thing I want you to see in this story is this. Every miracle begins as a problem. I don't know if you've thought about that or not. It's really kind of elementary, but every miracle you see in the Bible, every miracle that you can testify to in your life and in the lives around you begins as a problem. It's a problem that needs to be solved. This lady has a serious problem, not just one, but several serious problems with seemingly nowhere to turn. Or does she have nowhere to turn? You see, she seems helpless. She is helpless right now from a human standpoint, but she is not hopeless. And that's what I want you to be reminded of today. You may feel helpless and weak and destitute, but listen, if you're a believer, a blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ, you're His son or daughter, you are not hopeless. Your situation isn't hopeless. I was reminded of that yesterday. Chuck and I went out and we hit the neighborhood and we made some great visits yesterday. We got to talk to some people and we got to share the gospel. And I love doing that. And I got to ask a key question. Now, some of you don't know what a key question is, but if you ever go out with us and we do Can We Talk, if you ever learn our strategy, you understand that there's a faith question. There's a spiritual question you have to ask someone to really understand where they are spiritually. And this question is a very simple question. It simply says, if you were to die today, I'm not saying that that's going to happen to any of you, but if you were to die today and stand before God, and He were to ask you, why should I let you into my kingdom, into my heaven? What would you say to Him? Well, obviously, when you answer that question, if you think about it seriously, you've got to give one of two answers. You're either going to give a works answer. Well, I try to do more good than bad. I go to church regularly. I give to the Missouri Missions Offering. I go on mission trips. I sing in the choir. I've been baptized. Man, my great-grandpa was a pastor for 40 years in a church. All of those things, no matter what you say. Or maybe you say, I do social work. I'm a teacher in the school. All of those things are works. That's not the right answer according to Scripture. the right answer, and the only other answer is a faith answer. I'm trusting in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Praise God, we heard that, didn't we, yesterday, brother? We had some guys that said that answer, but there are a couple people that just gave us a deer in the headlights look. In fact, one lady that we talked to, a sweet lady, just lives right down the road here, said, I don't know how to answer that question. I don't know what to say about it. Now, the unfortunate thing is we didn't get to finish sharing the gospel with her. It was almost lunchtime, and she was trying to get food ready for her toddlers and her family, but we're going to go back there. And hopefully we planted a seed where she'll want to listen and hear the gospel. Because the gospel has answers to your problems, ultimate answers to your problems. And listen, if you're a child of the King, you just sang it a little bit ago, you sang victory in Jesus. And no matter what you go through in this life, what problems you face, you have ultimate victory. And I thank you for that, amen. But I know that a lot of us, we live in the here and now, right? And I know what you're thinking. Pastor, you just told me, are you overwhelmed? And I am overwhelmed. That's not doing me a lot of good right now. I know I'm going to heaven one day. But what about in the here and now? Well, have you ever thought that you're trusting God with something pretty important if you're trusting Him with your eternity? I mean, eternity lasts forever and ever and ever and ever. And add all the evers you want. I can stand here all day and say it and not even put a drop in the bucket. You're trusting Him for something really important if you're trusting Jesus for your eternity. Have you ever thought you can trust Him for your problems for today? It's true. In fact, you can trust God with the problems you face right now. That's what this story is telling me. When your life seems overwhelming and your problems seem insurmountable, never forget that God is with you. And I'm reminding myself when I say that as well. In the moments of life that are hard and the ongoing trials and struggles, God is with you. I've got a friend on Facebook, and I'm not going to tell you his name. Some of you would know him, but he has had a hard year. He's been in ministry, and man, he's just really been betrayed this year. He's had to leave his position at his church, and his wife lost her job. They've had some health problems with some family members, and he is hurting. They celebrated their anniversary yesterday. And they had the sweetest post on there. They were talking about how even in the midst of the storm, God is faithful. And that's the attitude I'm talking about. Even when you don't know the outcome, God is faithful. And He's walking with you in the problems you're going through. So listen, this is what I want to say to you. Somebody needs to hear this today. You can trust God with neuropathy and diabetes and cancer and kidney failure and multiple surgeries and wayward kids and depression and addiction. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you can trust Him with your problems. And there's one more thing I need to add to that. You can trust God when you have to wait. You can trust God when you have to wait. I don't know about you, but I don't like to wait. I don't like to wait in line at Walmart. I don't like to wait at the restaurant. That's why I don't go to the place of the Lamberts very often, because you always got to wait there for an hour and a half or two. I don't like to wait. But sometimes God puts us in a position where we have to wait. And you can wait. You can trust God when you have to wait. Some of you today are overwhelmed because you're stuck in God's waiting room. You know what I mean by that? God's waiting room is where you pray and you pray and you pray and the answer doesn't come. You pray for that child to change their ways and it just hasn't happened. Or for that lost neighbor to be saved. Or you pray for that doctor's report to come back conclusively. Some of you don't even know for sure what's going on in your life and you're facing tests and more doctor's visits this week. And sometimes we have to trust God when we have to wait. There's a problem that's out of your control and you ask God for help and nothing happens. It may be a financial need, it may be another need, but whatever problems you face, I want you to listen to me, whatever problems you face are limited. They are limited in scope and limited in duration, because ultimately you're more than conquerors. We are victors through our Lord Jesus Christ who saved us. And He may choose to move miraculously right now in your situation, but one day you're going to stand before Him and all that's going to be washed away. There's not going to be more tears or crying or sadness or sin. Your addictions are going to be broken. Won't that be a great day? So you're ultimately a victor in Jesus Christ. But second of all, there's something else in this story I want you to see. God wants us to be a part of the solution. Not only does every miracle begin with a problem, but sometimes the answer to the problem, the solution, the miracle is only performed with you involved. Now, I know God can do anything He wants. I know He spoke the world into existence. I know that God can move in your life and you not even know it. And he can remove that cancer cell. He can do whatever he wants. But it's often God's way to use you directly in the miracle, or to use me in the miracle. And you know, Hillcrest gets this. Now, some of you men, I hope you get it more. Some of you, I want you to come on board, but a lot of folks here get that. That's why today, right now, this very moment, we've got Paul Dudley in Cuba. And you know what? The folks in Cuba need a miracle. They've been wiped out by Hurricane Irma. It's even worse. We don't get the news down in Cuba like we do our own country. And they need help right now. And Paul is a good Samaritan in Cuba. Paul was joking on Facebook. He said, I never knew retirement would be like this. I tell you what, he's busier now than he probably was before. But he's part of the solution. Bradley Jeems and Tony Flores are here today. They're part of the solution in Africa. There's people in West Africa. They're getting ready to leave, by the way, this week on another trip to Senegal. There's people there that need to hear about Jesus. You know what? They are walking headlong into a Christless eternity. And they've never even really had a chance to hear it and clearly understand the gospel. You know what? They're part of the solution. It doesn't seem like much. A little church here in mid-Missouri sending a couple guys out there. But you know what? They're part of the solution. And sometimes God wants us to be part of the solution. Rod and Doug Kennett down in Texas right now, helping people get back on their feet again after the hurricane there. They're part of the solution. Our kids going out in the James 127 ministry and helping our widows. They're part of the solution. And so my question to you today is, if there's problems around you, how can you be part of the solution? And that's how God wants to use us miraculously. Look at what happens here. The woman comes to Elisha, the prophet. And I don't know how to really inflect this. It could be just, she could be crying when she says this and her heart broken. Or she could be mad and kind of vindictive towards him, blaming him or blaming God. We really don't know the sense of it. But she says, my husband is dead. He was a prophet, learning from you. I'm trying not to read any inflection into it. And now he's gone. And the bill collectors are at my door. And they're going to take my sons and force them into slavery. And look, guys, I love what Elisha says. I love what he says here in verse 2. He doesn't flinch. He doesn't make excuses. He doesn't send her to his ministry assistant. Look at what he says. What can I do for you? Isn't that great? What can I do for you? He's wanting to be a part of the solution. He sees that there's a need here. And man, wouldn't that be great if we all would do that more often? Here's my challenge for you guys. Starting tomorrow. This is your homework assignment. Tomorrow, when you say your morning prayers, and you better be saying your morning prayers and having your quiet time, whenever you say your quiet time, I'd like you to pray this prayer. I'd like you to say, God, will you show me today at least one person that I can help? Just put somebody in my path, one person that I can help, and then watch all day long. And see if God doesn't put somebody in your path or God doesn't bring someone your way to tell you about their problem. And then the next thing on your mind ought to be this. How can I be a part of the solution? You need to do what Elisha. I need to do what Elisha did and say, how can I help you? But I want to warn you about a couple things. If you do this, if you really follow me up, follow through with this and pray this prayer, there's a couple things you need to know. It's your bullet points on this second point. Here's the first one. Often the greatest opportunities for ministry come at the most unlikely times. In other words, what I'm saying is that knock won't come on your door. That phone call won't come at 10 a.m. in the morning when you're sitting eating bonbons and watching a television program. It may come when you're at your busiest point. You may have somebody in your office, or you may have something you're trying to prepare, a report. For me, it's a sermon or a talk or a lesson. Or it may be something else you're trying to do, and you have to refocus. You have to say, okay, Lord, you're in control. This is a divine appointment. But it's going to come at an unlikely time and probably an inconvenient time. We can be presented with ministry opportunities at the most inopportune moments. But hey, what does it come down to? Do I trust God? Do I really want to be a part of an everyday miracle? I'm going to miss it if I don't do that, if I don't take advantage of it. Francis Chan said it this way. I like Francis Chan quite a bit. He said, our greatest fear should not be failure, but of succeeding at things that don't really matter. See, a lot of times my priorities are messed up. My focus is on me and not on how I can be a part of an everyday miracle. And I think part of this story is just telling us that Jesus wants us to be open to what he can do through us. Elisha was open to it. And he wants us to be open to it. When God helps us to see a problem, more than likely, he is also helping us to be part of the solution if we will say yes to his assignment. Back when I was pastoring in Pulaski County, I was privileged to be the treasurer of the Ministerial Alliance for Richland. And that was a fine job. I didn't mind doing that, but I would get calls from time to time. And, you know, sometimes that was pretty inconvenient because I was bivocational then, and I might be out doing a job. But, you know, God always worked that out. And I had to check my attitude more than once. I'm just here to confess to you. But there was one pastor at Cornerstone Church. Actually, he was a youth pastor there. His name was Zandy. I think Justin knows Zandy from school. And Zandy would always call, and he's the one, he doesn't even know this, I never told him, but he's the one that usually put my heart in check. He's the one, God used him to burn a hole in my heart to convict me so that I have the right attitude. And he would call about a need. Somebody needed help, somebody needed money, somebody needed something or other, maybe counsel. And he'd call me, and he would always say these words. He'd say, "Brother David, I've got a ministry opportunity for you." Hit me right here. He could have said, "I've got a benevolence issue," and I probably hung up on it. No, But he would say, "I've got a ministry opportunity for you." And that's what these really are. If you want to be part of everyday miracles, you got to get your hands dirty. You got to get involved in the lives of others, and they can be messy lives. And sometimes it's thankless work. Sometimes they'll walk away and they won't even thank you, and you'll never see them again. But you know what? You're not doing it for them. You're doing it for God. That's why Elisha says, "How can I help you?" I love that. But I love something else that he says here, and that's part of my next point here, point number three. God can use our limited resources to accomplish great things. God can use our limited resources to accomplish great things. That's the next argument. I know it. I know in your minds right now, this is the argument you're throwing up. But I don't have the talent that somebody else has. I don't have the deep pockets or the resources. I work weekends. I work nights. I do this or I do that. And I'm not saying those aren't valid things. I'm not saying that you don't have to maybe juggle some other responsibilities. I'll do more of that when I raise my kids. Or I'm retired now. I've already been there and done that. Listen, all of those things are fine and well, but they all also can be used as convenient excuses. And not only that, but sometimes when we sell ourselves short, we are using that in a way that sells our faith short. We need to have faith in a God who can do a lot with a little. Amen? And I want to show you that in this story. I love what Elisha says. Notice he doesn't say, still in verse 2, "I have all the answers." He doesn't say, "Well, let's pray about it more." Look what he says. He says, basically in essence, "Let's start with what you have, and maybe God can meet your need starting with what you have." Well, of course, you see what the lady says there. "Well, I don't have anything at all." See, she's focused on herself, on her limited ability, on her hopeless situation in her own mind. He says, "Are you sure about that?" And then she remembers, "I do have a little bit of oil." That's how the NIV translates it, a little oil. It says a jar of oil in the Holman. Interesting, isn't it? When you're hurting and you're lacking, all you can really focus on is what you don't have. Elisha, through the power of the Holy Spirit, challenged this woman to focus on what she did have. And that's what maybe you need to do today. Some of you are down, you're depressed, you're overwhelmed, and you're thinking about what you don't have. "I don't have enough money. I don't have a spouse. I don't have any friends. I don't have a nice house." First of all, would you just do me a favor and focus on what you have? Because the truth is probably you have a lot more than you think. I mean, think about it. Now, my wife's going to shoot me for this. This isn't directed at you, honey. But you go into your closet today. I challenge you. Go into your closet in your room, in your house, in your bedroom, and look at all the clothes you have. Just look at the clothes in your closet. In fact, most of us, we've got enough clothing to clothe a small African village if we wanted to. And what will we say? We'll say, "I don't have anything to wear." And so we got to get a fact check. We got to get a reality check. We have more than we think. And the same thing is true in your own personal life. You have resources that you may not have used in a while. You may not even know you have. You have spiritual gifts. The only way you know if you have them is to use those spiritual gifts. And I guess the point I'm trying to make is that you need to stop waiting for what you want and start working with what you have. That's worth writing down today. That's going to be one of your points on there. If Norm puts it up there. There it is. Stop waiting for what you want and start working with what you have. Will you do that? I mean, you may never get to the point where you feel like you need to be. I still don't feel like I ought to stand up here sometimes. But I'm working with what little I have and letting God do what He does with the rest. Because listen to me, God specializes in doing a lot with a little. Isn't that right? He does that all over the Bible. I mean, Jesus needed only 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed 5,000 men and their families. And God took this little shepherd boy to take care of a 9-foot-tall menace named Goliath, who talked smack to God's people and mocked their God. The army, they were shaking in their boots and quivering and saying, "He's so big, how can we beat him?" David standing there saying, "He's so big, how can I miss?" God used the little guy. Some of you say, "Man, I wish I had more faith." And you know what Jesus said? He said, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains." The point of this story is He can do a lot with a little. And it might surprise you how God can use your life if you'll make yourself available. But second of all, listen to this. God has given you everything you need to do everything He wants to do through you. You may feel like, "I've got an assignment right now I can't do. Going to Africa is a pretty scary assignment. It's challenging." God has put everything in you to do what He wants to do through you for this moment. And somebody besides Tony probably needs to hear that too today. All of us need to hear that. I need to hear that when I try to go out and witness or do what I'm called to do as a pastor. All of us have been given everything that we need. Think about Moses. Remember that story of Moses at the burning bush? When God appeared before Moses in the burning bush, I want you to listen to what He said to him. He didn't say, "What do you need?" He said, "What do you have in your hand?" And that's what God is saying to you today. He's saying, "What do you have in your hand? What can you offer to me that I can use for my glory to be a part of everyday miracles in the lives of others around us?" And so what you need to do today, you need to stop waiting for what you want and start working with what you have. All right? I've got one more point I want to make today. Give God what you have and trust God with what you need. That's the last principle I see in this story. Give God what you have and trust Him with what you need. There's no doubt this woman had a need. Even with the little jar of oil, that wasn't going to be enough to get by. And so she was having to trust God. And listen to what Elisha told her. He told her to go around and ask the neighbors for all their empty jars. Don't just ask for a few. Get a bunch of empty jars. All you have is a little bit of oil, but you're going to find every container that you can find. By the way, that just reminds me that whenever God puts something on my heart to do, we need to go all in. I hope you're all in the ministries of this church. I hope you deacons are all in as a deacon. You life group leaders are all in. We're going to challenge you in just a little bit about that. I hope if you're a parent, you're all in as a parent, or as a husband or a wife, or as a follower of Jesus Christ, a missionary. You are all in, because there's no other way to live. And there's no other way to experience everyday miracles. You're not going to be a part of a miracle until you're all in. If you're half-hearted and casual in your faith, you just come when you feel like it, then this sermon just going over your head. You're not going to see the miracles of God. So listen to me. This woman, she had the faith to offer what she had, and God gave her what she needed. That's my first bullet point on point number 4. She had the faith to offer what she had, and God gave her what she needed. She trusted God, she poured out what she had, and God continued to bless and continued to help her and continued to do the miracle and filled every one of the jars. And when that last jar came, the miracle stopped. When the jars were full, it says in verse 7, all of the oil stopped flowing. What I'm saying is that when she offered God the little that she had, God gave her everything she needed. And God is going to give you everything you need for the assignment He has for you, or for the challenges you're facing. This overwhelming situation you're in, you know what? It is limited in duration, but God is going to see you through it if you'll give it over to Him, and you'll be a useful vessel in His presence. I love Hudson Taylor. He was a missionary in the 19th century, and I've probably used this before, but I just love this quote. But listen to what Hudson Taylor said one time about missions in general. He said, "I have found that there are 3 stages in every great work of God. First it is impossible, then it is difficult, and then it is done. Isn't that what happened with her? First it is impossible, then it is difficult, and then it is done. He goes on to say, God's work is not man working for God. It is God's own work, though often wrought through man's hands. I believe God wants to use your hands, your feet. He wants to use your wallet. He wants to use your voice. He wants to use you in a multitude of ways to do everyday miracles in your life. You know, I've thought about this topic of everyday miracles, and I really couldn't think of a better way to illustrate it than something that happened in our very own church. Christopher and Lacey, can you make your way up here right now? I know that y'all, most of you are aware of the story of Christopher and Lacey and little Andrew. And God did a miracle. I mean, we had some tough days there, some scary days. But they're here today, and they have been gracious enough to come and testify about how God worked in their life. And they also want to thank you guys, because you guys were part, in different ways, of an everyday miracle.